that, Deb. Yes, Deb, yes. Mike alluded to the fact that in the back, I did say that this was going to be the greatest worship service. This could be the greatest worship service ever. That's what I said. And do you know why I said that? Because this could be our last worship service ever. The Lord could come back Monday morning, 9:27 a.m. And this will be the last time we ever have to worship here on earth. But think about that. This could be our last. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. And so I pray for some of us that will just invigorate us and give us great joy. And I pray for others of us who need to make some decisions that we would have urgency and not put off what you can do today. I want to talk about the greatest of all time. The greatest of all time. You know, when you think about the greatest commandment of all times, the greatest one above the 613 commands in the Old Testament. There was one that Jesus said was the greatest and sums up all of these 613 and all the other things, ones that the Pharisees added. Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You fulfill all of the laws by focusing on the greatest commandment of all time. Now, what we're going to do in a few minutes, I don't want any arguments, fights, bickering, discord. I'm going to ask you your opinion of the greatest of all times in some different areas. Here we go. The greatest singer of all time. Michael Jackson. Karen Carpenter. That's my girl, Karen Carpenter. Yes. Ella Fitzgerald. All right. Okay. Aretha Franklin. A little respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Yes. Frank Sinatra, oh, Blue Eyes, yes. Prince, okay. Andrea Bocelli, a little classical here. Yes, Aaron. Celine Dion. All right, Dennis. Elvis.
What do you know about
Elvis, all right. Now, the greatest actor or actress of all time. Daniel Day-Lewis, yes. Who? Patrick Swayze, okay, yeah. Jimmy Stewart.
Orlando, you ought to say that.
Denzel Washington, yes, yeah, Gary. John Wayne. Gene Hackman. Dennis.
Turn his mic off.
I got to get some water off that.
Smell what is.
What about Meryl Streep? Oh, Meryl Streep, come on. Yes. Helen Mirren, yes. Okay, all right. The greatest Broadway show of all time. Les Miserables. What's that? Wicked. Phantom of the Opera. Yes. Lion King. Okay, yeah, I saw that. That was wonderful. All right, now, you guys are doing good. The greatest NFL quarterback. Joe Montana. Tom Brady, yes. Who? Michael Vick. Johnny Unitas, yes. Dan Marino, yes. Drew Brees, all right. Now, the greatest basketball players ever.
Stop playing games, man.
Jordan, stop playing games.
Michael Jordan, yes. Larry Bird, Larry. Who? James Harden. Allen Iverson, yes. Bill Russell. Somebody say, who? They say, who is that? Yes. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Okay. Yeah, one more. Shaquille O'Neal. All right. All right, all right, all right, bro. One more. Nobody said LeBron James.
Because he's not.
Oh, man. You guys are hard line.
Because he's not.
All right, now. We all have opinions about the greatest of all time. We debate, we talk, oh, it's about this era or that era. What about now? What about in the past? What happens, though, when Jesus himself reveals his greatest of all time? In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus reveals his greatest of all time. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, far more than a prophet, this is the one it is written about. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. I assure you, among those born of women, no one greater than John the Baptist has appeared. But the least in the kingdom of heaven, greater than he. Last week we talked about John the Baptist, his greatness of revealing, proclaiming, preparing the way for the Lord, and his discipleship in saying, I must decrease, he must increase. The mark of John the Baptist's greatness was his high and sacred task of announcing and preparing the way for Jesus, God in the flesh. His greatness was his role in human history, not his spiritual inheritance. Our spiritual dimension greater than his. Yes, you and I, as disciples of Jesus, we have the greatest foundation of all time. We have the Word of God. We have the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Gospels, the Epistles, the Resurrection. We have the greatest foundation of all time that will take us through any storm in this life. We have the greatest author, perfecter, mentor, savior, and Lord of all time, Jesus Christ. We have the greatest community, the greatest family, the greatest household of all time, the church, the family of God, the body of Christ. We have the greatest counselor and comforter and guide of all time. He is called the Holy Spirit. We have the greatest hope, the greatest inheritance of all time, heaven. Heaven. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm the greatest. Look at him again and say, I'm the greatest. I hope you believe that. I hope you believe that we are, not because we're so special, but we are. And I want to discuss one great thing that we have, that you and I have as Christians. I want to discuss one great thing. It's found in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Now, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have not sinned, we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we don't have any sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. His word is not in us. As Christians, we have the greatest walk of all time. We have the greatest walk of all time. I'm not talking about a John Wayne walk. I'm not talking about a cool Snoop Doggy Dog walk. I'm not talking about a George Jefferson confident walk. I'm talking about the greatest walk of all time. The greatest walk a human being could ever have. I'm talking about a walk in the light. A walk in the light. That walk in the light, I know some of you are thinking, well, that means behavior. No, it's not the walk. It's not about your actions or what you do. That's not the walk I'm talking about. This walk has everything to do with being known. Everything to do with being who you are. Being known. Walking in the light means that you and I are willing to be known for who we really are. Warts, sins, terrible, ugly habits and all. The opposite is a walk in the darkness. The opposite is a walk of hiding, pretending, putting on airs, and attempting to be seen a certain way. This is a walk that can afford to be known for who we really are. Can't afford that. We have to put up a front. Because we fear rejection, we fear punishment, and we fear abandonment. So we'd rather stay in the dark. The good news is that as Christians, we can be known for who we really are. And I love what Mike said. Just having that confidence to just share in our life groups who we really are, to be able to be open. So walk in the light. Our walk is not based on performance. It's not based on what we do or don't do. It's based on God's love for us. The greatest love of all time. You know, when you understand that, embrace that wholeheartedly, you walk in the light. You're not fearful of your deeds being exposed. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
So be it, but it's hard to live it. Most, unfortunately, are hesitant to walk in the light. Today, we're going to talk about three areas of walking in the light. One is a foundation of walking in the light. Two is an application of walking in the light. And three is a clarification of walking in the light. Walking in the light. The foundation of walking in the light. The foundation of walking in the light. Verse 5 of 1 John that we read. Now this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. Absolutely no darkness in him. To walk in the light, you got to understand that God is the source of this light. God is the source of this light. That is a foundational teaching. He alone provides the foundation. Now, what are the benefits of this kind of light, this kind of foundation? He helps us to avoid danger. He exposes danger in this type of light. This kind of light helps us to seek what we really seek and find what we really desire. This light helps us to seek and find peace, fulfillment, love, purpose, freedom, hope, joy. This kind of light helps us. This is our foundation. Helps us to uncover dark, hidden agendas. Helps us to uncover the dangerous small prints of life. You know the ones we miss in our excitement. We don't see the small prints. So it helps us, this foundation, to avoid danger, to reach what we really seek that we cannot find in one another, only in God, the source of light. It helps us to avoid those dark, hidden agendas and dangerous small prints that we don't see, that we're blind to. The foundation is God Himself, the source. The second is the application of this walk in the light. In verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in this darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. But if we walk in this light, as He Himself is in this light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I love when John says, walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. If we're to follow Jesus, we got to follow Him all the way. Follow His love for God, obviously, His devotion, His faithfulness, but follow His openness. How open He was to the purpose and direction, and how vulnerable. It doesn't get more vulnerable than dying on the cross almost naked. And yet, we sometimes stop so far short. So this application of walking in the light, in order to understand how to walk in the light, you got to understand what walking in the darkness is all about. Darkness is a lack of clarity, obscurity. It's like walking in a house and you don't have the benefit of knowing where all the furniture is. You see, in my house or in your house, you can walk around, you can scoot, because you can just... You know, you can go around, you know what's there, and something new. Is that a shoe? You know. We know the layout of our homes. But it's like being in the dark and walking throughout a home that you've never been to. This is a walk of fear, a walk of insecurity, paranoia, uncertainty, doubt. You fill in the blank. That's not the walk that God desires and designed for us. That's a walk in darkness that we'll talk about next week. But today we're talking about the light. And so, how is walking in the light different? The source of light is walking with us and giving us divine illumination. It's walking with clarity. It's a relational walk, like in verse 7, talks about, but as we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, it's about having that yoke and walking with Christ and not walking alone. But know that God has walked the same walk you're walking in. He can relate to the same very things that you relate to, that you're going through. He does. And yet we go, we doubt. Jesus says, try me. I've been abandoned. I've been abused. I've been hated. I've been lied on, spat on, flogged, crucified. Then that's when we go, oh, okay, I haven't done all that. In this walk, there's fellowship with one another too. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Jesus didn't come to just cover our sin. He came to conquer sin. This is a confident walk. It's a walk of the Spirit. It's conditioned for all of us who are walking in the light. Walking in the light is about seeing things the way God sees them and responding to things the way God responds. It's that application. You can know it, but you got to walk it. Apply it. And finally, the clarification of walking in the light. In verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him out a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, if you want the word to stay in you, you got to stay in the light. If you want the word to work, you got to work it in your life. Walking in the light truly takes a humble heart and a curious mind. One has to be humble enough and curious enough to want to know, well, what's in the darkness? Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, whoever said they had no sin? Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm perfect? No one in here. But I've heard people. I'm perfect. Well, that's an interesting individual. To say I'm sinless. There has been an issue from my standpoint. But it's not about have you sinned. It's about what sins have you. Example, whenever a hurricane hits, and thank God Dorian didn't hit us, it usually knocks out power. And what's the first thing we search for? Light. Power. Right? This world, many years ago, experienced Hurricane Lucifer. And it knocked out, that was a big one. It knocked out all the power. And the power never came back on. This world stayed in darkness. We had to have a source come and bring light to the world. We, however, tend to choose light options. We have choices. Some of us just stay in darkness. We just stay in darkness. Can I get the other slide? We just stay in darkness is an option. You know, we're kind of, the light's kind of around, but we choose to walk in a dark room. And remember, we're afraid, we're tentative. We're doubting. We don't trust. Even though God, there's no greater love for us than to see Jesus lay down his life for us. There's no way God can express any more love. It's the greatest extent of love. Someone dying on a cross for you, and yet you and I can choose to stay in that darkness. It feels good to stay in the darkness. Everything really looks okay. I don't want to face reality. I'm comfortable in my darkness. Some of us can compare darkness to others. Well, at least my darkness is not dark as yours. Right? And we go, I ain't dark as him. She's really dark. I'm just kind of semi-dark. And we lose out. So that's an option. We stay in dark. We stay the way. Brothers and sisters, to be honest, throughout the many years I've been in the ministry, I've seen certain individuals stay the same. They don't grow. They stay the same. And after a while, you get disease. It's kind of like a good golf green. What a good golf green needs is sunlight. And if there are too many trees around the golf green, doesn't get a lot of sunlight, then it produces disease. So that's what happens in some of our lives. Because we don't let the light in, we have disease. Not because we're bad people, because there's just no light. And darkness will soon take over. Some get a battery-operated nightlight option. Battery-operated nightlight. I guess that's the one, yeah. You have those, right? So, you know, you kind of put them somewhere, dark room. It kind of lights up the area. We can see a little bit, not anything too bright. Just enough for kind of around your room, you know. What kind of person is this? What's a person that believes in God? You know, I believe that, you know, I should love my neighbor as myself. I love people like I want to be treated. And I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, he's my Savior. And I love him. Okay, just a little bit. Then we have the kerosene lamp option. That's a bigger, brighter light. It lights up, you know, an area where others can get some light as well. And you're thinking about a couple of others. You speak about what you believe. You go to church occasionally, you learn more about Jesus, and that's an option. We also have the generator option. That's a bigger light. See, that one lights up different rooms of the house. We can actually light up every area of the house and all the appliances. We have some light for parenting. We have some light for marriage. We have some light for, you know, relationships. And we have some light for coworkers. We tell them we go to church and we mention the Lord every now and again. And so people kind of know that you have some generating going on. And then you have the source option. This is the one that we find in 1 John. This light moves us to bring the obvious and the not so obvious out. It's a revealing light. It's a light that brings about a confession. It's a source that not only reveals our sins, but reveals our consciousness. It's a light source that we can never create on our own. Not about our power or intellect. It comes from God's mercy, God's love, and God's grace. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's overwhelmingly good. You see, this light is freeing. It's freeing. This light is exposing. It's convicting. It's revealing, and sometimes it can even cause division because it can be too bright, especially for those who want night lights, those who just want a lamp. Or a little light in every little bit of room. that they have. Now, this light goes with you wherever you go. This light, for Paul, says, I am the worst of all sinners. This light opens you up where you confess your sin because you know that God's love is greater. There's no fear in love because perfect love drives. That's what this light does. It drives out fear. Perhaps this is why John said that the world did not perceive this light. Maybe that's why John said the world did not recognize this light. And the world did not desire this light. This light is rare. This light is rare. Do you perceive this light? Do you recognize this light? Do you desire this light? Do you walk in this light? And when I mean walk, I mean do you live in this light? Is it a part of your relationships? Is there where you don't play with darkness, you expose it? It's that kind of light. And, you know, you're talking about fellowship with one another. You know, all we are when we talk about these life groups, we're talking about light groups. Letting that light shine. And you know, what's amazing, when you let that light shine in your life, guess what's really seen? Not your sin or your shortcomings, but God's love. God's mercy. Because I believe in this Bible, it says God's power is made perfect in weakness. Are you weak enough for this light? Or are you too strong? If you are joining Jesus in his mission, like we say every Sunday, you're walking in this light. You're having somebody that's coming up and following you going, what is in you? And all you can say is light, light. Our discipling relationships, light times. They're light times. Not so that we can bear all, and no, it's so that we can experience the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. And boy, do we dwell on some of the comments that were made that were dark comments. You know how you expose dark comments? With light. You say, well, you may think I'm prideful, but guess what, brother? My pride has been forgiven. I'm in the light. No one can tell you to say that. You got to experience that. When you experience that, you cannot keep that life light to yourself. So next week, we'll discuss darkness. Next week, we'll discuss how men and women and humans get into darkness. And we'll also discuss how we get out of it. I pray you'll join us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this indescribable light, this light and life that you've allowed us to have. Father, we pray that our walk will be one that is serious, that we will prepare our hearts this week to walk completely in your light. Father, those who are afraid, nervous, skeptical, hesitant to give their life to you, that you would give them confidence in your love and your care and your faithfulness and your perseverance and your mercy and your grace. And Father, we will be a humble people, a people that are not afraid to express our desires, concerns, sins, weaknesses. Father, because we've all fallen short. Help us to live that way, to love that way, and to walk that way. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Parents.